Thank you, George, and thank you, choir, for the message in that song. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, reading verses 14 through 17. It's also in the Pew Bible, page 1005. Second Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Actually, this portion of Paul's writing to the Corinthian church is the last of four possible letters that we have collected here in 1 and 2 Corinthians. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing Him. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one a fragrance from death to death, to the one a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not peddlers of God's word like so many, but in Christ we speak as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God and standing in His presence. In case you hadn't figured it out, it's October. October the 1st, to be exact. And for those who didn't like the cool, crisp morning yesterday or the day before, after all, it is fall. But October is a time filled with all kinds of sights and sounds and smells. Think with me for a few minutes about some of these, if you would. Leaves begin to change color, and they fall in our yards. And as the weather cools, sweaters come out. Sweaters in colors of auburn and yellow, various shades of green and red and brown. Just like the changing scenery around us, they come and they add something special to our fall. The sounds of leaf blowers in a lot of places have replaced the sounds of rakes, and as we use the rake. Children, we watch them jump into piles of leaves. Sometimes we're happy for that, and sometimes we can't believe that now we've got to rake them up again. We hear them laughing and screaming and running around outside. And then sounds pretty soon of trick-or-treat begin to fill the air. And before you know it, the Muzak in the stores will begin playing Christmas songs. And the smells of the fall, the smell of leaves, pumpkin pies, apple pies, fresh apples, as opposed to those that have been sitting around in a warehouse somewhere, all bring memories and excite our senses. Riding down the road, especially through the countryside, you might smell freshly cut hay in the fall. For many, these smells bring back fond remembrances and are sweet aromas. I was talking with someone recently about these kinds of things and talking about how I couldn't wait to get out into the woods and the sights and the smells on a crisp, cool morning. And he said, "Well, I love those smells too. And all those others, like baking pies or the roast that my mother used to make on a Sunday in the fall. They remind me of family times on the farm so many years ago as I grew up." He said, "But you know, I also remember my grandfather kept a large number of hogs as well. And a lot of times I didn't like having to go down to the hog pen because that smell wasn't too nice. He also said that one of their neighbors down the road had a large chicken operation, and that was even worse than the hog pen, especially if the wind was blowing the wrong way. As we talked, this passage came to mind. So I ask each one of us today, what is our aroma as Christians for both God and to others? What kind of aromatic Christians are we? Now, just before our focal passage today, Paul relates a brief account of a journey that he made to Troas and then to Macedonia. He was looking for Titus and was having trouble finding him. But in verse 14, he interrupts his reminiscence with a sudden outburst of joy and thanksgiving because the gospel, the good news of God in Christ, had triumphed in those places and beyond. And actually, as he writes to the church in Corinth, where he has been having some difficulties, his outburst of joy is also for the people who have finally caught on to what the gospel is all about. Though for many, the image of triumph is a military image, a military conqueror leading humiliated captives, the image of a caring God is more of a triumph. Not a triumph where we are humiliated and being dragged along, but a triumph over our sinful natures, which causes us to bow humbly and voluntarily before that one who loves and cares us so much that he overlooks and wipes away our sins. As we have surrendered our arrogance or sinfulness to his love, we participate in the light of God's triumph over sin. That triumph that God brought in Jesus the Christ to overcome all of our shortcomings and all of our sins. Paul himself considered himself a captive, but his captivity was not one of humiliation and being dragged along, kicking and screaming. It was a captivity to love and grace. It was not desolation. It was a victorious celebration for Paul, and he bursts forth here with that joy and that understanding of celebration, recognizing, as we read in verse 14, that God is with him always and everywhere, time and place. God is there, regardless of time, regardless of place. God is there. Now, when a conquering emperor passed through the streets, incense was often burned as both an offering for victory and as a pleasing fragrance for the emperor. For Paul, the surrender of life to God that he mentions here, it has a quality about it which is a fragrant aroma. To surrender life to God gives off a fragrant aroma like the incense. The influence around like a sweet smelling flower, or maybe the aroma of a freshly baked pumpkin pie or apple if you prefer. That sweet aroma that makes you hunger for not only a piece of that pie, but perhaps even more. It is the knowledge of Christ by which God brings that fragrance to our lives and through us can bring fragrance to life for others. The life of the Christian and those others with whom we come in contact who may not be Christian. There should be a quality in us and in our consciousness of God's love in Jesus that exudes from us, really without effort. Without effort. But it is a quality that we cannot produce artificially. It has to be a reflection of God's Spirit at work. At work in those who accept God's call. As James Reed writes, goodness born of the love of Christ has the quality of peace and happiness, which Jesus described in the Beatitudes. It's something that Robert Louis Stevenson called flowering piety. It appears when resignation has blossomed into the joy of acceptance and doing God's will instead of simply submitting to sorrow or fate. This is therefore the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ, which has the effect on others of producing an experience with God. We can help others experience God if that fragrance, that aroma of Christ in our lives permeates us and goes to those around us. God is revealed by a quality of spirit within that creates the capacity to feel, to think, and to respond to the fragrance. And we Christians bring a fragrance to life by the ways we speak and live. The gospel is not our gospel, but is first and foremost the gospel of God in Jesus the Christ. But the aroma, even in sincerity, will smell differently to each person. For some, our fragrance, that is, our attitude, our speech, our lifestyle will be pleasant, like freshly cut hay, or fresh apples, or a roast surrounded with sweet potatoes. Lunchtime is coming. They are among the ones being saved, which is a growing process. Yet for some, what we offer in attitude, speech, and lifestyle may be like the hog pen or the chicken houses. It doesn't smell so good to those who are perishing. One finds what is offered a way of salvation, but some find the rancor between church folks a way of ruin. The one is made better while the other becomes hardened to God and God's love and God's grace, which in itself is a fragrance of life which we are supposed to exude. And then Paul says, so who, if anyone, is sufficient enough to bring the aroma of Christ? We might think the answer, nobody. But those who tell the good news of God in Christ and who show this by the way they live and relate to others are conduits of that life. We can share that by the ways we live and talk with each other and with others. The primary concern for Christians is to make sure that others are not turned off and turned away because of our misrepresentation of God and His grace. Paul mentions here those hucksters, those peddlers that peddle the gospel. And we have to be careful that we're not merely peddlers for profit or hucksters for hire. There are plenty of those. In fact, there are many of them on television, but not just on TV. There are other places as well. But there are plenty pronouncing the health and wealth prosperity gospel. Time magazine just recently had an article about that. Does God want you to be rich? Is the title of that article. Looking at some of these guys from Reverend Ike to Joel Osteen and several in between. but rather we, clergy and laity, all are to study. We're to preach. We're to teach and act with sincerity and integrity that is born of a living, growing relationship with God. And if we really think about the mission of the church, the mission of each Christian is to love as Christ loved and to share as Christ shared. We must be concerned about missions, not just globally, but locally, even within our own midst and our own community. A chorus that was written in 1982 by Doug Holk is sometimes sung among some of our Wesleyan brethren. And by the way, that was a person with whom I was talking when this came forth. The lyrics bring a realization of how the love of Christ gives us immediately a transport into the arena of missions. The title of the song is "Your Love Compels Me." And among the lyrics we find, "Your love compels me, Lord, to give as you would give, to speak as you would speak, to live as you would live. Your love compels me, Lord, to see as you would see, to serve as you would serve, to be what you would be." Theologian Floyd Filson writes about those pleasantly aromatic Christians and says that they are sincere, filled with integrity and loyalty to God, which rules their motives. They are sent by God with a message of love from God. They are the ones who give their Christian witness, knowing that they speak in God's presence and are responsible to God first and foremost. And they speak in Christ because their lives are linked with His. And they do these things for the good of the whole, not for personal gain or to get brownie points with God or someone else. It's fall. It's October. The pumpkins are out. The pies are being baked. The hay fields have been cut. And we all have an aroma. As Christians, we can live and speak in such a way that people are reminded of the chicken houses instead of God's graciousness. But that's not what God really wants or calls us to do. Rather, we are called to live in such a way that even the pumpkin pie, the sweet potatoes, the freshly cut hay, or the smell of a crisp, cool morning are insufficient to express the life of redemption in Jesus, our Christ. We're all aromatic. What is your aroma? May we pray? Heavenly Father, we do come before you with thanksgiving for the love and the grace that you give to us, but also admitting that sometimes we hoard it and keep it for ourselves. Sometimes we pack it away and then treat others with disrespect. Sometimes our aroma is not very pleasing to others or to you. Help us to find that sweetness of your grace. Help us to find the aroma that attracts people to your love and to your mercy. Help us to be an aroma of Christ, fragrant and bearing your love. For it's in the name of Jesus, our Christ, that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 415. We are called to be God's people. That is our call, to be God's people, not just part of the time, but as Christians to be God's people all of the time, each and every day, even when we don't necessarily feel like it. For God loves us even when we are sometimes unlovable. As we sing, our altar is open for any who would make a decision for Christ, for any who would make a decision to become part of our fellowship, or for any in our fellowship who would make a decision of recommitment to being aromatic Christians. Hymn number 415.